Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the water damage whisperer, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz. No Lee DeCamper today, Ira. He is in Seattle. I don't know what he's doing, but he's
probably at the Jimi Hendrix Museum, you know, enjoying it.
What I at least I'm sure of is that he's found some great restaurants. And he has found some incredible places to watch college football.
Absolutely.
And enjoy burgers and beer. And
now, Steve, I got a key number going forward. You ready? I got a key number for this weekend. 7.
How many pounds are down?
It is the number of pounds I'm down.
No, 8?
On my way to 8. And I believe that's the number of interceptions that Seattle has, which is a good number after 4 weeks. It's a real good number. They got some Bull Hawks back there. They got a decent pass rush. Not great. I said the Bulls, they have a largely unrecognizable defense in terms of national perspective. And, of course, what's Coach Bowles going to say? Well, unrecognizable maybe to the people in this room, but not from pro football coaches. And then he went on to talk about how great their front is. It's a decent defense.
All right, Sage, everything Ira belongs to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. The Curry family, 65 years. And right now, if you donate $10 or 10 food items, you'll get $20 off service. But if you're shopping for a vehicle, wow, interest rates are down.
I don't think you can emphasize this family angle enough, Steve. It matters. It matters.
It really does, because you're not just a number. You're not just, oh, we have to meet this quota today for the corporate office. They care. And the Curry family is there. Sean Sullivan.
They want repeat customers, Steve. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, loves Bucks fans, loves to give out the Ira Kaufman discount, and you can email him and say, hey, Sean, this and that, and he's going to answer you for real. And he's right there with you as a fan on top of that. Don't worry. Drive Curry, Bill Curry Ford. You can click on specials on their website, new specials, used specials, and see all the great opportunities. A lot of great zero-down lease deals, Ira.
You want to know about the 2026 NFL draft class? He might have a couple of names to throw past.
He will. You can throw him out there to Sean as well. S. Sullivan at BillCurryFord.com. But it's right there on the website for you. Don't worry, Drive Curry. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. And Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. If you have mold, you need to get it out of your house. You need to be serious about it.
We've been very lucky with the hurricane, Steve, but that doesn't mean pipes don't burst in the Tampa Bay area.
No, water damage happens all the time. It could even be you've got an issue in your roof or in your building that you don't know about, but those pipes bursting are killer. It happened to me under my bedroom. I have tile in the bedroom. The floor was hot. It just felt hot in the room, and I was like, why is it so darn hot? This was a previous summer years back. I thought the AC was broken. Turned out there was water. Pipe burst. It was under the house, and in the summer, that water was, you know, in the 80s or whatever, and it was hot. It was coming through the floor. Crazy, and I needed a restoration company, and you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration, because that's where you'll get an honest restoration company. They will give you a free evaluation with
and
all
call
their,
them quick, Steve. Call them quick,
and they'll bring out their top technology. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call, and you will get $500 back if you use their service. And they cover the whole Bay Area across the state. They're also family owned, which makes a difference. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Still 5.0 on the Google reviews, perfect scores, close to 300 reviews. Check them out.
I wish we had a 5.0 on our podcast, Steve, but we're doing okay.
I think you need to be down 8 pounds by this point. You've been hovering at 7.
By the next podcast, I'm looking at 9.
Any fun plans for this weekend before kickoff?
Yeah, I think we're going out to dinner with another couple tomorrow. Maybe Ty. Maybe. Yeah, you know, I might go off the diet a little bit. I'm a little crispy duck, Steve. A little crispy duck.
That's way off the diet.
But Sunday, I'll be watching the Bucks game and back to the diet. Back to the diet.
There you go, Sage.
Oh, by the way, I ravaged the Bucks spread Sunday, and I get up Monday morning, go to the scale, and I regained 2 pounds. I think that slice of pizza at the end killed me, Steve.
Those home games are dangerous. Thank you, Team Glazer, for the amazing food spread that just keeps flowing there. They roll out the chicken an hour after.
I don't have the Bananas Foster, Steve. I don't have it.
Yeah, you didn't eat a thing. It's amazing. All right, so Ira, look, big game for the Bucks on a lot of levels. It's hard to think big game so early, but 3-1. Seattle's 3-1. They have the potential to be a division winner and fight the Bucks for seeding. And the NFC South, as we saw, the NFC West, as we saw Thursday night, totally up in the air with the 49ers stunning the Rams in Los Angeles.
Give Shanahan credit.
And the Rams have all these special teams issues. Another team with special teams issues. They had their extra point block turned out to sort of be the difference in the overtime game. But the Bucks head up to Seattle, and they're a wounded bunch. 16 guys on the injured list. However, we had 10 of them fully healthy for the Friday's practice.
I can't believe Greg Gaines. I mean, you hear pectoral, you figure the guy's out for 6 weeks, maybe more, and he's going to play in Seattle?
Well, you know what? That's why they run those tests. So if he's got pain and they know, you know, they look at it, and they got real lucky. Bucks dodged a bullet with that one with Gaines, but he was full go in practice Thursday and Friday, so he's ready to go. Logan Hall back to full go with the groin injury, so they've sort of solidified what's going on the defensive line, Ira, but the big stunner, and what's going to shake up this lineup in a big way, number one, both. Benjamin Morrison, first-round pick, outside cornerback, is out with a hamstring. Jamel Dean is not playing with a hip injury. They both seem to be significant injuries. They didn't practice all week, so who knows how long this will go on.
I think that's more concerning than the Bucky Irving situation, frankly, because I think White can do a credible job. He's not Bucky Irving. But down two corners, and Morrison, to me, was starting to come on. I thought he was starting to make plays out there in the limited snaps.
Yeah, he played quite a bit of snaps. You know, Dean only played 14 snaps and was out against the Eagles. Morrison went almost the distance.
He did a job on A.J. Brown, Morrison.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
did.
Look, he was on the field when they didn't complete a pass, and he's active, and I love the tight coverage. He plays the coverage everybody wants Jamel Dean to play. And
so does Parrish.
Yeah.
So does Parrish.
Yeah, and it's really what the Bucks wanted. It makes you wonder why Dean won't just tighten up on his coverage. There was one play in that Eagles game, Ira, where Dean did not cover the slant on third and long. He was just sort of making sure it didn't get by him, and sure enough, there you go.
Yet Pro Football Focus has him as perhaps the best cornerback in football. What are they watching over there, Steve? Now, come on.
What are they smoking? What are they drinking? Smoking? What are they eating? Everything. What are they doing over there?
Have you ever seen this many injuries across this league? I mean, it's a real epidemic.
Well, you got a lot of big names, so
you start with Joe Burrow and go on from there.
It stands out, but just from our perspective here on the Joe Bucks Fan Show, 16 names on the injured list alone.
Yeah.
That's a lot of guys banged up. Seattle, by contrast, has 7 names on the injured list.
And that doesn't count the Gettekes and the Canseys and the Malks. You know, throw that in there.
Yeah, those three starters right there. So it's a lot for the Bucks to overcome. But again, they're looking pretty healthy, certainly on defense, a defense that completely locked down the Eagles in the second half. They should gain some momentum from there.
Yes.
You know, they should. But we don't know what's going to happen at corner. What do you think happens at corner?
I think they're going to make a move to keep Parrish on the field 100% of the snaps. And by doing that, that would generate him moving opposite McCollum outside. Then they got to fill in the nickel spot. They could move Tyke Smith and then throw in a Merriweather at safety. Or they could try Josh Hayes and keep Tyke Smith at safety and try a Josh Hayes or one of those other guys at nickel. It's not an enviable situation, but imagine if they didn't draft Parrish and they had this happen. They'd really be in a lot of trouble. And let me throw this in there. At the risk of being crazy at 7:15 on Sunday night, Seattle's offense doesn't scare me. It just doesn't scare me. I think they're functional. Walker is a decent running back. He's not Bijan Robinson. I don't even think he's Breece Hall. I don't think, and he's certainly not Barkley. And the Buck rushing defense is outstanding. And they got one threat. I'm not going to try to say how to pronounce the name. I think it's J.S.
No, it's Smith Njigba. Not too hard.
Yeah, not too hard. He's good. I mean, the guy's good. There's no question. But it's not like they're blessed by, you know, three outstanding targets. And they got Sam Darnold. This is not a great offense by any measure.
No, definitely not a great offense. And going to the cornerbacks, though, first, Ira, on the roster is Kendall Vildor. Now, this guy's started for multiple teams, drafted by the Bears in 2020. And this is the exact guy they were looking for in the offseason. You've got experience. You're a live body. You're not 34 years old. And yeah, he's versatile. He hasn't been on the active roster, but he is ready to go and he is healthy. They might stick him out there, see what happens.
I'm not sure I like a matchup with him and Seattle's top receiver. I'm not sure I like that.
No, but the question is, will they have Zion McCollum travel with Smith Njigba?
Possible.
That's possible.
Possible.
Seattle is second to last in the NFL, Ira, in pass attempts. This is not a big passing offense. Now, they've been successful, and they've been a big play offense, but
They're getting a lot of short fields because they're playing really good defense.
Yeah, the defense has been excellent, but yeah, you're right. They're not loaded with threats, and Sam Darnold, yes, good quarterback. He's in that mold of revived quarterback that's so popular around the league, but this is not some super dangerous guy, and the Bucs defense is hot, piping hot. So I'm not too scared about what happens at corner, but frankly, this is why the Bucs approached the offseason like they did. And thankfully, they have that depth where it's not just a couple of guys off the street, in a sense, like we were looking at last year. And yes, I consider Josh Hayes a guy off the street because that's his caliber. But you said an interesting thing there about drafting Parrish and drafting the corners. A lot of Bucs fans might say if they didn't draft Abuka, the NFL Rookie of the Month, they'd be 0-4. You could argue that.
Interesting.
You could argue that.
Interesting.
It's maybe a little unfair, but you know what? Let's say they did take one of the edge rushers or inside linebackers,
yeah,
whatever.
Let's say they took Jihad Campbell or something. Yeah.
If you didn't have Abuka, what does this offense look
well,
like?
Well, maybe Evans gets some more targets in the first
sure.
few games. You know, sure. This game's got Rashad White written all over it, Steve. I can't get around this.
Yeah, so no Bucky Irving.
The guy's looking for a paycheck next year. I'm not sure he's coming back as a Buccaneer. Do you think he's coming back? Maybe.
We said it was a no-brainer that he'd be back this year. A lot of fans... And there was a lot of media speculation, not us.
And he had a pretty good year last year.
That they would trade him in the offseason, which was ludicrous. 9 touchdowns he scored last year. The good thing is he looks great this year, averaging 4.7 yards a carry, where Bucky Irving's down at 3.3. He played great against Houston, and then they didn't use him after that.
He also ripped Seattle in Munich. Now, I know Seattle's defense has
sure.
got new starters, but still.
But he's capable, and I'm not really worried about it. Sean Tucker's also very capable, Ira. We'll see. I mean, if the Bucs are able to block against Seattle, which has been solid against the run, but not legendary this year, the Bucs have the horses to run. Todd Bowles implied strongly last week that, you know, there was an adjustment period for Bredesen and for Barton going back to their regular positions after a month of not playing them. So, you know what? They should be firing up there on all cylinders, and I look for White to have 20-plus carries and hopefully 110 yards, but we'll see.
And, Steve, the X factor, I can just hear the fans screaming. What about special teams? What about special teams? Understood, Steve, understood. You can't have another block where people are going to lose their jobs. You start with the punter, and, you know, I don't think they would change special teams coaches after 5 weeks, but I think Bowles is fed up. I think he's had enough, and this can't continue. The irony is the punt return game is much better with Cameron Johnson. He's doing a great job. I mean, averaging 16 yards, that's a big number. Last year was 8 with Trey Palmer. And McLaughlin, you know, is over his yips, and he looks fantastic.
Why do you think the special teams have had these issues with blocks around the league? Like, I get the juiced-up football talk of the K-ball and the better striking surface, and we've seen a lot of kickers already hit career highs. McLaughlin had the NFL longest outdoor field goal, but it's been a lot of them. We even saw Thursday night Pinheiro kicked his career high. They had no problem running him out there for San Francisco. So forget the long kicks. Why the blocks, though?
Maybe injuries are affecting some of the guys that block for field goals and punts. Perhaps from a local perspective, I know people are trying to say that Dixon's time that he gets the ball off is average and it's not bad, but he looks slow and methodical, Steve. That's what it looks like to the eye test.
Now, it's not quick. He may be average if you put the stopwatch on it, but it's not quick. Do you think the Bucs adjust Sunday and say, screw it, let's get starting offensive linemen on special teams to make sure this is right?
I thought you were going to say, screw it, we're going for it on 4th and 4.
No.
I don't think that'll be the case. Now, Bowles is a little more aggressive, Steve, than he has been in his previous years as coach. He's a little more aggressive. Maybe some of that is coming from the new game management guy in his ear. And if it is, that's fine, because I think it's basically worked out for the Bucs. Whatever has to be done to give Dixon time and McLaughlin time to kick field goals, you got to do it.
You think we see some of those starters out there?
I don't see why not. It's an absolute pressing issue.
What I'd love to see would be hilarious, Ira, if the first Bucs punt comes and standing to the right with his hand in the ground next to the snapper is Vita Vea. That would just be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Wouldn't that be something
to see?
Steve?
It would be something. And you know, why not?
And by the way, one more quick point, Steve. You know, Seattle's vaunted home field advantage. I think that's largely in the past. I believe they went 3-6 last year at home, and they got that famous 12th man. I think they kicked New Orleans' ass this year at home, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's New Orleans. They're the only winless team in the conference.
Yeah, they lost on opening day to San Francisco. I don't know the exact numbers last year, but it wasn't as good as usual. However, there is an element to this game from the road game perspective, and I asked Todd Bowles about this on Friday. I'm not sure he liked the question.
Don't tell me you checked the weather report.
No, not the weather. Not the weather. Remember that reporter last year who asked him about weather in Detroit? And he said he paused, and he said, the game was in a dome.
All right, what'd you do to piss him off?
It's not just this week. It's next week as well. Now, the smart guys, the wise guys, the data handicappers, they know that there's something called rest edge. And rest edge is when you have X amount of rest before a game and your team has significantly more that you're facing. So in this case, the Seahawks played Thursday night, September 25th, I think it was. They beat Arizona, last second field goal after Arizona tied the game late.
And the Bucs have the standard, you know, week to week.
Right. So Seattle's got three more days of rest. And next week, the Bucs come home to play San Francisco, and San Francisco's coming off Thursday night football. And so here come the Bucs to Seattle.
And the Bucs will be coming off a long West Coast trip.
Yeah. Seattle's got three extra days of rest. I asked Todd Bowles. I said, hey, brought this up and said, you know, does it make a difference for you? You know, how do you feel when you're on the positive end of that? And Bowles shrugged it off. He said, you know, it's great
recuperation,
when you got to get healthy, but otherwise it doesn't matter. That's nonsense.
That is nonsense.
You know, extra time.
It's extra preparation.
Yeah. You know, some coaches would argue if I can't get it all done in the 5 days, well, nonsense. They can dive a little bit deeper.
Then you can watch your other team play live. You can see what's going on right then and there and prepare off that.
You can also dive a little bit deeper into the unexpected, which the Bucs have plenty of in their lineups for this week with all the injuries that we talked about. So,
of course, it's an advantage. Of course. Now, there'll be a week this year. Maybe the Bucs play on a Thursday night this season.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll have that advantage, the following game.
Yeah, I read an interesting analysis of this a little bit, that the advantage, and now when we say advantage is, there's a statistical advantage. Teams win more often when they have that big rest edge. But it's changed a little bit in the world of the NFL because teams used to have a great record coming off a bye week. But that record has faded slightly, and it's attributed to teams used to practice during the bye week. Now they don't really practice during the bye week. There's more time off, and without practice, do you get better? Not really. You rest up. So we'll see if it matters, but that's a big hurdle for the Bucs, Ira.
You know, some people are looking for winning edges, and, you know, you put that in the category. It's a winning edge. Home field, you know, it's not what it used to be, Steve, not just Seattle. Overall, I think the numbers are coming down between road teams that are winning and the home team. I think road teams are winning like 46, 47% of the time. So I think home field used to be a significant advantage, and I think that's dwindling. But your point's well taken about rest and preparation absolutely favor a team that's got 10 days in between games.
Now, Baker Mayfield, Ira, he's been a guy who has said that he prefers to play on the road. He loves it. And I think that's the competitor in him. I'm hoping that some of that rubs off. Do you buy it that there's a link there? Or that's just Mayfield?
I could see how that fits his personality. Shut these people up. You know, Larry Bird used to say, there's no better sound than silence from a road basketball crowd, and the same thing for the NFL. Shut them up. The Bucs have been a pretty good road team, Steve, the last few years. I think it matches the home record pretty much. I think 1 year they were better on the road than at home. I know it's a 5.5-hour flight, but something tells me the Bucs are going to show up for this game.
A wacky
question is, are they going to show up early?
a wacky story Mayfield told on one of the podcasts he did this offseason, National, and it speaks to how much...
Wait a minute, Mayfield did a national podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It speaks to how much he loves the road and that hatred atmosphere. And I apologize, I don't remember the college rival, but whatever the college rival was in Texas...
Was he when he was with Oklahoma?
I believe so, but I really can't be sure. It doesn't really matter. The rival team throws soft tortilla shells onto the field. Soft tortillas. And that's just part of the tradition. And they're not allowed to bring them into the stadium anymore under the rules of the stadium, but they do it anyway. So, which means, as Mayfield explained, they put those soft tortillas in kind of nasty places to sneak them in. So Mayfield said...
This is a family podcast, Isbitz.
Mayfield said he was on the sideline, and one landed near him, and one hit him, and the fans were yelling at him, throwing at him, and he grabbed one and he ate it.
And that's fantastic.
He knew where it was, where it had been, and he took a bite and he ate it.
That's Mayfield.
So now, Ira,
hey, maybe it'll throw some stuff from Pike's Fish Market onto the field on Sunday.
yeah.
Maybe a flounder will show up at the 40-yard line.
Maybe some Dungeness crab or something like that. All right, Ira, you have noted, and astutely so, the Bucs have been starting terribly, whereas last year they started super strong.
Super strong.
And your column this week on JoeBucsFan.com was about that. What do you want to say about that?
Well, Steve, one thing that I just thought of that I failed to mention, it would have, in the words of DeKemper, buttressed my argument. Steve, last year they started great, and all of a sudden they averaged 29.5 points. The previous 2 years were bad. Brady's last year and the first year under Canales. Bad in the first quarter. And what do we see? They're averaging 18 points a game. There's a direct connection. Start fast, and all of a sudden you're going to have a pretty good offense, most likely. This year, they got one touchdown in the first quarter in four games. Ryan Miller, of all people, has it. Add two field goals, that's 13 points. You know your math, that's 3.3. That's bad. That's just bad. Really bad. They've never had a lead in the first quarter. Never had it. And they've never scored first in the first quarter.
That's 24th in the NFL. Last year, like you said, they were first. So they basically cut that production in half.
That's not the only reason their third down percentage is down, Steve. So it's not the only thing. But, Steve, get on top of teams early. And Mayfield says we got to come out swinging. Let's see.
I said the same thing about the defense. So
I don't want to hear about lack of focus anymore.
No,
Steve.
Neither That's do old. I. I'm sick of it. But the offense, they're running out of excuses. They've got more guys back. Todd Bowles went out of his way to say Chris Godwin was going to be a terror this season.
Didn't they have a great record last year, Steve, of scoring on their first opening possession?
Yeah, they were best in the league, tied for best in the league at that, and they were number one in the league at total points in the first quarter. So overall, it was great.
How much of that do you ascribe to Liam Cohn?
It's too early. It's too early.
It's early.
We're going to find out, though. But Bowles did promise us a much, much, much better Chris Godwin this week. That could be huge.
I think he's going to improve in increments over the season. I don't see why week five should be a spectacular jump, although he did get his feet wet. I thought he looked a little rusty, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he was. The thing is, we don't know much about this injury from the standpoint of we understand what guys kind of look like after an ACL or an Achilles and what it takes for them to get back. But from what I've heard, this injury is one that once you're back and once you can do what you can do, you're good. So maybe it will be
I thought Wirfs was very solid, Steve. I don't know how much you watched Wirfs. I thought he was solid.
I thought he was incredible.
He never gets beat for a sack. It just never happens.
No, he was dominant.
Just riding that guy outside, no factor.
You know, frankly, yeah, he was injured, but it makes a difference in the NFL when you can bring in these bodies fresh. Yes, they're coming off injury, but they're still fresh, and fresh makes a difference. We saw it during 2020 when, I'm not going to say anybody got lucky to have COVID, but the Bucs got some good timing with COVID. Donovan Smith lost a game for COVID, came back and was a new man in late December for the playoffs. Devin White missed the first playoff game, COVID, came back and tore up the whole postseason. Sometimes that day off, that week off can mean a lot. And for Wirfs, it looks like he's just ready to tear it up.
I think it's important to, you know, stop the losing. You know, don't get into a funk. Don't get into a streak. The 49ers and the Lions are dead ahead, Steve. This is the teeth of the schedule. All you got to do is stay afloat. Nobody thought you were going to go 4-0 against the Eagles, Seahawks, 49ers, and Lions. Nobody. I mean, that's not realistic, especially with what we're seeing on the injury list.
The special teams coach, Thomas McGahee, when he met the media on Thursday, he made a long opening statement. A real stand-up kind of guy.
Seems to be.
Addressed pretty much everything.
It's like me after I make a typo in one of my stories. I'm right out front, Stevie.
Yeah, yeah. Your thoughts on that? Is there really even more to anything more to say? But props to him for really putting everything on himself.
I think what he says reverberates in the locker room. And I thought he handled it well. At the same time, I don't want talk. I want action. And I don't want to see the Bucks giving teams free points like we've seen over these last few weeks. It could have haunted them in weeks 1 through 3, and it helped cost them a game on Sunday. I want action. Let's see what you've done to address the situation.
Who are you looking for? We're going to get into our picks later, Ira, but who are you looking for to have a big game besides Rashad White?
I keep thinking about Reddick, Steve. He's got to have a breakout. You know, he wants to be paid. He wants a big contract. So far, I don't see where he's really done enough, where the Bucks are going to make every effort to keep him from, hitting free agency. You know, get in Darnold's grill, Reddick. Get in his grill. He told me after the game he's going to be good. It seems from the injury report, he's going to be good.
Yep.
What a time for a breakout game. I'm looking for Reddick, Messers, Reddick, and White to lead the way this week.
So you're looking for it, or you think it's coming?
Well, I think it's certainly coming from White. We'll see about Reddick. Who's on your radar? You coming up with Sterling Shepard? When are you coming up
before
with?
The season, when we made our predictions, I said that this was going to be Vita Vea's year to break out. He was my pick for, standout defensive player. And
he's been very good.
He's been great. A couple of sacks, great against the run. I'm really looking for him to build on it, tear it up this week.
Washington State.
You stole my thunder. He's going back home there, and that's going to revive him a little bit. He's a West Coast guy on top of that, living in Northern California. Even though he's a veteran, I think he can build a lot of confidence.
And it's a run-heavy offense for Seattle, right? Right up Vita Vea's alley.
Yeah, and that was no slouch of a defense, or excuse me, no slouch of an offense in the Eagles that he had a good day with. So I'm looking for a lot from him. And on offense, Rashad White, man. Let's go, Rashad. And I'm looking for Mayfield to be a little more precise as well, get that completion percentage up, which is not necessarily about his accuracy, but a little bit of it is. All right, Ira, we are presented today by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Since 1960, they've been family-owned right there, the Curry family, taking care of the community, dozens of active charities, and more important, they are a fabulous dealership, from bodywork to the largest service department in Florida to over 600 vehicles in inventory. Check out all of their specials right now, Bill Curry.
I was in first grade when they started, Steve. Can you picture me in first grade?
First grade, 19. You sure it wasn't 11th grade?
Well, they called me the Penguin back then. I guess this is the way I was walking. And, Batman, the Batman show was going on. And they called me the Penguin, Steve. I didn't like that.
Nobody calls you that anymore, Ira. You're walking just fine. Bill Curry Ford, since 1960, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, one thing we heard from Todd Wright, my sit-down with him in the last segment, Bucky Irving not 1 yard rushing this year in the red zone. Stunning.
How many attempts?
Don't know.
All right.
But not one.
Not one.
Which is pretty wild, considering. It's not like the Bucks haven't been moving the football. And your final word on if there's any fix, any solution for this situation with the fans. 40%, 33% Eagles fans in the stadium.
It came up on Chris Russo's show Wednesday. He's asking me about it.
Now, it happens around the league, as Todd explained. And
I think it happened in the Rams game, Steve. There were more 49ers fans because L.A. doesn't really have a home field advantage there.
It happened last weekend with the Bears in Las Vegas, and it happens, but a little bit different. Do you think there's any solution, or this is just one of those things? And, you heard me tell Todd the narrative. This was a narrative in place 25 years ago. The roots aren't there. It's a new team. different than other areas. Well, now we got 50 years in the books, and it was worse than ever. You think there's a fix or no fix?
If there was a fix, I think the Bucks would be on it because they can't be happy with what happened Sunday. Buck players were talking about it after the game in the locker room. You know, how crazy they think it is to see 40-50% of the stands filled with green. It happens when the Giants come in. It happens when the Bears come in. You know, certain teams travel very well. I didn't know Eagle fans travel that well. I didn't realize it.
Well, it didn't happen in the playoff game a couple of years ago. So,
but you and I knew it before we even got to the press box because we saw it on our, you know, walking in.
Well, you don't have a solution, and that's fine, Ira. Just figured I'd throw that out to you.
Steve, part of it is that Eagle fans or Bears fans or Giants fans, they're willing to get on a flight and pay anything for a ticket. And season ticket holders are thinking, hey, I can cash in and pay for half of my season tickets by selling one game. And it's tough to tell Buck fans they can't do that.
The argument's interesting because the game wasn't sold out. Buccaneers let me know that while the NFL considers it an official sellout, there were about 700-800 unsold seats. So, and that doesn't count club seats. So there were club
seats. The same thing has happened to an extent at Lightning games, playoff games. There was a series against Detroit a few years ago. It looked like half the crowd were Red Wing fans. And that was a playoff game. So it happens. And it's Florida.
I know. We were shaken. We hope we don't see it again. Now, you are 4-0 on the season with your Buccaneers picks. 4-0. We already got Lee's pick, who is our comrade. He has taken the Seahawks. He's also 4-0. I'm 3-1. What say you about this game, Ira?
The only game you missed was the opener, right, Steve? The Atlanta game, if I remember correct. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sticking with the visitors. I'm sticking with them. 2017. I don't think Seattle is worthy of being 3-1. They're not going to be a 12-5 team, in my opinion, Seattle. I think the Bucs are pissed off about their lethargic start, and I don't think that's going to happen again on Sunday. Are the Bucs going to score a ton of points? No. Not without Buck Irving, they're not. But I think this defense is going to keep this game close, and I think Mayfield wins it at the end. 2017 visitors, Bucks.
My feeling was that this is a very tough spot for the Bucks between the road and the rest edge.
And you weren't even counting the injuries at
and
that point.
The injuries, yeah. But what has surprised me is how much the injury report has improved. Now, the only guys out here are Dean Evans, which we already knew, Irving, Izzian, and Benjamin Morrison. That's a problem at cornerback, but I don't think the Seahawks are really in position to take advantage. And I like the Bucs' mentality of coming off a loss.
They don't have that elite second receiver, Seattle. They don't have it.
No, I just have that feeling that the special teams is going to be right this week. Maybe not all season, but I think this week it's going to be on point.
You know how much Bowles is on top of this special teams thing this week. Especially this week. He's had enough of this.
Yeah, and I like the uplifting situation with Chris Godwin coming out of it well. Tristan Wirfs coming out of his return well. Better than I think anybody expected for both guys.
And you like the way White's played this year when he's had a chance.
And I don't have a problem with Rashad White. Bucky Irving is a loss, right? You're losing an explosive opportunity here. But I'm okay with White here. And Sean Tucker's going to, he's proven himself at least in spots. I'm not worried about him necessarily, and I kind of like, Ira, a hidden thing in this game. Josh Williams, the undrafted rookie running back, the number four back who's going to make his debut, he's going to take Tucker's role in kickoffs, where he's been dreadful in kickoff returns.
He was good last year.
And he was good in the preseason, yeah. Williams. So, I don't know. I think they might get a spark from special teams this week.
Sounds like you're coming along with me over here, Stevie.
I am coming for the ride because of the improved injury report. And I think the Bucs' run defense is going to shake this game up, put a lot of stress on Sam Darnold, who does not have a good record against Todd Bowles. I am going with this thing 21-18 Buccaneers.
Very close to my score.
Yeah, very close. So
4-1 would look very impressive, Steve. Very impressive.
For me?
No, for the Bucs.
Oh, 4-1.
Yeah, for the Bucs.
It's
yeah.
all about me, Ira. Yeah, it sure would. Studying it more, and, you know, I did watch that Seattle game against Arizona. Arizona's got a lot of talent, but they've been shaky. And, yeah, Arizona had that Baker Mayfield, excuse me, Seattle had that Baker Mayfield-like late comeback, got a few first downs, kicked a long field
goal.
They're
a perfectly average team, Arizona. Perfectly average. You know, eight wins. That's what
they got
are.
Some talent. The one thing that scares me, which is going to make you laugh, is Seattle blew out the Saints. And the Saints have played everybody pretty tough this year. They went into Buffalo, shocked a lot of people. That was a game that was closer than the 13-point score. I don't know. I got a good feeling about
it. They jumped on New Orleans early. They jumped on them early in that game. They might have scored 21 points in the first quarter.
But New Orleans has played tough, so we'll see. I'm going with the good guys, Ira. Going with the good guys.
I think, Steve, at this point, you know, it might sound like oversimplification, but I think the Bucs are trying to get to the bye week, you know, in decent shape. And that's the way I look at it. And decent shape to me, how many games would that be, Steve? Eight games
until then. The bye is week 9.
Six and two would be great, but, you know, 5-3 wouldn't be bad.
I think you're oversimplifying. I just think I kind of like the matchup in some ways, and I like where the Bucks are mentally. And let's face it, a lot of their struggles have been mental. These are mental errors mostly in the special teams, not necessarily physical
errors.
And
letting off the gas against the Jets in a game that you were in total control. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I like that they should be able to exploit the left side of that offensive line. You can do so much behind Tristan Wirfs. Go out and do it.
You like Mayfield over Darnold in the final minutes of a close game?
Absolutely. He's proven it more, and he's a better runner than Darnold for sure. All right, Ira, we are out of here. We'll see you all week at JoeBucksFan.com.